meetings from Russia, Egypt, China, and the Bahamas.
From Russia.
Can Russia disconnect itself from the internet? Why would the government do that?
From Russia.
What's all the panic about the blue whale challenge? Did this internet help stop on some Russian social media?
From Egypt.
What's it like to be an Egyptian journalist under the government of President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi?
From China.
So do you talk politics on WeChat? Why is WeChat a super app? What is a super app?
From the Bahamas.
How did Bahamians use social media after Dorian? Is social media useful for disaster relief?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio.
Russia has been cracking down on the internet. Foreign social media platforms seem to be causing problems in Russia. Recently, the government has even been discussing disconnecting the Russian internet from the global internet. Is that even possible? How would that work? Can you have internet in just one country? Olivia, tell us about the first news source that you read which inspired you to choose this topic.
To answer your first question, I do think it is possible for Russia to disconnect itself from the global internet. If China can do it successfully, I feel like any country can really do it. However, this is not something that can just happen overnight. There are many steps Russia has to take, not to mention that would be very expensive. According to MIT Technology Review, a magazine reviewed by Massachusetts Institute of Technology, the project's initial cost has been set out at $38 million by Russia's financial watchdog. One of the author's plan has said it'll be more like $304 million. I don't know about you, John, but I would never invest that much money into something like this, just because I don't like foreign media and what they're saying about me. Putin may go through with this. If he does, here are the steps he has to take. Step one is obviously having the funds for the project, of course. Number two is to reroute the internet service provider. Some of you may be wondering, what is an internet service provider? An ISP is an organization that provides people the opportunity to browse the internet and have access to many websites. If the ISP chain is a success, a person trying to go to Facebook.com would get rerouted to BK, which is Russia's version of Facebook. Step three, change the domain name system. What is a domain name system? Think of it as numbers in your contact list. For example, www.google.com has a DNS of 8.8.8.8. This is what Russia needs to reroute in order to be successful. Words. An American visitor in the United States. This would work by deploying an alternate domain name for Russia to steer its web traffic away from international servers.
How do you think Russian citizens are going to react to this?
I think half of the population is going to be very angry, and the other half is really not going to care. One citizen in Russia spoke once, and she was very upset by it. The Daily Beast, an American news website, interviewed Polina Raskina on this issue. She states, "If tomorrow I am left without my social media websites, I would not know how to get in touch with my university friends. Even our professors inform us about our schedules on social media." And she also states, "YouTube is where we get our news, where we find our favorite bloggers and music groups." Reporting from Global Media News, I'm Olivia Flohr. Back to you, John.
Thanks, Olivia. Teen suicide is a dramatic and terrible problem in Russia. Is social media a factor in what seems to be a wave of teen suicides? Can internet memes and viral videos cause suicides? Have you heard about the blue whale challenge? Amani Ings has been fact-checking the sensational news story. Amani, it seems like this blue whale meme began in Russia. There was a media panic about teen suicide caused by this blue whale challenge. How did this viral challenge get started in Russian social media?
The blue whale challenge originally started in Russia in the year 2016. It was created by a psychology student by the name of Philip Utkin. So we just started on a Russian social media blog that contacted and the first victim from this challenge was a Russian is nationwide. Not everyone is to for teenagers now suffering with a lot of depression,
why do you think teenagers partake in drinking courses like the Bourbon Challenge?
They partake in drinking courses because teenagers join for the group. I believe that sometimes it's for the thrill, sometimes it's just for the group. So that's just why people's attention are often. I also think that, like I was saying before, some teenagers are just pressing up and focusing on them. I'm also in the news section, some statistics. Over 6.7 million people wanted to have mental health problems according to the National Health Center. And I found out that over 1.1
million people wanted to have mental health problems. What can we do to encourage teens to stop engaging in such activities?
So, I feel like we all need somebody that is that's a teenager that just would like use a talk and listen to what they're going through. Whether it's like their brother, sister, cousin, daughter, something like that. Talk to them a little bit more, be kind of to listen to. Listen to what they're saying. Don't be judgmental. You know, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised to hear what a lot of people are going through. If you see something on social media, report. I feel like a lot of times you just scroll on social media. We'll see something and we don't believe it, or we'll see it's a lot of people, we just think that they're just looking for attention from some people who are living in the and with this being a challenge, especially, it started in Russia, it's spread through different countries, to China, to India, to the United States, and it started to different social media sites, to challenge, even the moral challenge, important. This is what we need in this passage.
Thanks, Amani. Let's talk about media consumption in Egypt. Is there a free press in Egypt since General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi became the president of Egypt in 2013 when he turned 15 attacked a disclosed president?
The democratically elected president of Egypt, Mohamed Morsi, was overthrown by the military in July 2013. Morsi was the first elected president of Egypt after the Arab Spring in 2011, was the resignation of President Hosni Mubarak, who had ruled Egypt for almost 30 years. General Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has been the president of Egypt since 2013. What has changed?
Ever since his takeover, President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has been ruling really the people in a sort of iron fist and controls traditional and modern social media to a great deal. In 2013, the president gave all public protests and then took the streets to rioters who helped them put the rest in the prison sentence. Recently, there have been a sudden problem in the protest against President al-Sisi calling for his resignation, an act which hadn't been seen since when he was first picked for president. These riots were met by police and clouds of tear gas around the country. The problem here is that freedom of free speech in this country is in the limit. Dozens of reporters and journalists have been reportedly arrested for reporting on the acts of fear. On Tuesday, September 24, a member of the Egyptian parliament had read out a statement regarding this media. According to the news agency, Speaker Ali Abdelkader was quoted saying that the next period will be spread to the weeks ago, a video leaked by an ex-military head in Egypt that accused President al-Sisi of corruption. The Egyptian government is now hoping to crack down on these types of outbreaks, but it's a traditional role in social media.
Do you know how the Egyptian government is finding all these people who speak up against them?
The Egyptian government has been found responsible for tampering with hacks to
Hurricane structure of an online society. How did people get their news and find out what they needed to do after this devastating hurricane? Did social media and the internet play a role in disaster recovery? Monica, talk to us about some of the ways that people were able to use mobile phones and social media to reconnect and recover from this devastation. Could Bahamians watch TV or listen to the radio after these storms from the Bahamas?
The Bahamas was hit by Dorian, a Category 5 hurricane this past September 1st, and so now they're in a lot of need. Although it's been a really hard time for them, they have been able to receive a lot of help from all around the world, and most of it was possible because of social media usage. So after the storm, social media platforms was essential for the search of missing loved ones. The Bahamas lost communication and family members from all around relied on what was known as their only hope, social media, to look for them. With an aching heart, posts of their loved ones' information were posted all over Facebook and Instagram, with the goal of getting positive news that could involve their family members. One example of this is the Facebook page Eyewitness News Bahamas, which ever since Dorian hit the Bahamas has been updating direct information from the Bahamas. In a disaster, anyone could be a hero. In this case, Princess Wasit was what Jonathan Perchamala said as the dog was able to find her owner after she lasted 17 hours under the rubble. This case got viral on Facebook after the video was shared over 13,000 times.
Was it beneficial that the video went viral?
It was actually. Through this case, the people from other countries with family members in the Bahamas had a hope and a better attitude towards the situation, even though they may have a family member still missing. As the New Yorker, an American magazine, stated, as governments and aid groups struggle to help the Bahamas recover from the hurricane, residents have used Twitter and Facebook to coordinate rescues and raise money. This is another way social media has been essential for the recovery of the Bahamas. They need donations, but where most people spend their time nowadays is on social media. So by showing the reality of the issue, many celebrities and people have been touched and have made many donations.
Where can people make donations?
There's a website which is called Global Giving. It's a global crowdfunding platform and has set up the Hurricane Dorian Relief Fund. So through that website, there's been a lot of donations made. Also, someone suggested that she would create a separate website to handle the search of each individual with their information such as names, pictures, and also open to any comments and updated status on the situation. A small group of volunteers were the responsible for DorianPeopleSearch.com, which holds a database of nearly 6,500 people. This search engine was a great idea because it's focused on them, and even through it, many have already found their loved ones. Really hope that social media could keep helping them because they're still in a lot of need, and social media is a great platform for them to come to the market. For Global Media News, I am Monica Crespo, Raptor Jones.
That's all for this week. Thanks to our great producer and nimble engineer, Kyle Bronski, and thanks to Olivia for all of our listening this week.
Today, we hear reports from Monica Crespo, Mohamed Fardali, Olivia Ferrara, John Greenberg, and Amani Innes.
Foreign Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbourne Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at the State University of New York, College of Old Westbourne.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest posts at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and even subscribe to our podcast feed.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter feed to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.